Welcome to the Placebo Magic Podcast, the podcast about imaginative self-care for skeptics. I'm your host, Durmok, the wizard and peasant lord of the vast 10-acre realm of Hobdur, also known as Garrison Benson. Greetings, placebo mages. Today, discussing an unhealthy type of self-care that swings between extreme discipline and extreme excess. But first, thank you to our newest Patreon backers, Madison, Roxanne, Segregated Facial Hair, McKinley, and Rachel. And thank you to our backers at the producer level or above, Alconet, Emily, A Sociology of Tarot, Agnomenimus, Annie, Brienne, Carrie, Dev, Fen, Gune, John, McKinley, Tetchy, Tony, and Valerie. Also, I wanted to give a quick content warning for this episode, which is that I will be doing a little bit of discussion about, dietary, like dieting and eating and calories and that kind of thing. And I know that that can be something that some people don't want to hear all the time. So just a little bit of a warning there. Okay, so today I wanted to explore this concept that I've been kind of vaguely aware of for a long time and never really had a name for, and I decided just to give it a name, and it occurred to me that it may be one of these things where just having the concept exist in your head might be pretty helpful, even if I don't have any like really bulletproof advice for how to deal with this problem, but I think just, you know, having a level of awareness is a it probably takes you a decent amount of the way. And so this is a concept that I am calling polarized self-care. So as of the beginning of season 3, I started using the phrase self-care in the tagline for this podcast, and it's kind of started using the phrase a lot more just in the show in general. And that phrase gets used a lot on the internet, and sometimes there are ways that it's used that make me kind of frustrated. And so I wanted to kind of dig into that in particular for that reason. That's kind of what motivated this episode being, you know, now. And that is that sometimes you see the phrase self-care in this context of like this kind of reckless hedonism, this like extreme indulgence. And then you also sometimes see the phrase self-care being used in this like ultra disciplined sort of interior drill sergeant sort of way of like being like extremely regimented in your routines. And I think either one of those extremes is unhealthy and unhelpful. And so I'm calling that state polarized self-care. And the thing about these two extremes is it's not just two like competing ideologies about how people are supposed to be, nor is it something where you tend to be one or the other. I think that the thing about this sort of polarization is that it happens both ways at the same time, that these two extremes, they feed off of each other and reinforce each other and create each other. You know, a lot of times the sort of extreme, reckless, self-indulgent hedonism kind of, it ultimately is motivated by wanting to get out from under the thumb of our interior drill sergeant. Likewise, this interior drill sergeant oftentimes sort of comes into its full force as sort of a pendulum swing response from the opposite extreme of that reckless hedonism. And so I think it makes sense to think of these things really as the same bigger picture phenomenon. It's kind of a trap that we can get ourselves into where we just swing back and forth, kind of ricocheting from one of those extremes to the other. It's like, I'm going to be so good now. I'm going to be super disciplined. I'm going to lock everything down. I'm going to make every minute of the day count. I'm going to count every calorie. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then that can get so overwhelming and stressful. And you're kind of like just constantly living under that anxiety and shame. And then you ricochet to the other side and kind of go on this kind of bender of like, oh, I got to start practicing self-care now. I'm going to go buy a bunch of stuff and I'm going to eat whatever I want. And I'm going to do all the stuff that's ultimately sort of screwing over my future self, you know, in the name of quote self-love, I'm going to screw over my future self. And, you know, both of those things are just, yeah, they're not healthy in the short term or the long term, really. And I think if you see one as the solution to the other, that just kind of perpetuates that cycle, right? If you think that having like a massive spending binge is the antidote for you having been too hard on yourself financially and too strict of a budgeter, you know, it just keeps that cycle going of swinging back and forth between the two extremes. You know, just some other examples like of this phenomenon. Obviously, a lot of people have various levels of extremes with this when it comes to like their dietary and kind of fitness goals. People will oscillate between like fairly extreme diets and swinging back from that into phases of like eating that doesn't make you feel good or, you know, that kind of screws over your future self. So yeah, I think food is probably the most common area that people really struggle with this kind of polarization. And certainly with physical fitness, like exercise to some extent too. I know, you know, growing up Christian, where we lived in the evangelical world as a teenager, you lived under this constant cloud of fear of lust and this pressure about like you're supposed to be good. And I know that for some people in that world, there's like it kind of creates that opposite reaction, like that people who are so extreme about trying to regulate their own sexuality that then it kind of the dam bursts and they go on like these like kind of porn, these like extreme porn addiction binge kind of behaviors. And then the pendulum swings way back the other way and it turns into like, oh, I got to cancel my home internet and I'm never going to turn my head to look at a woman on the street and I'm going to never see a movie that's more than PG rated. And, you know, I mean, you kind of would hear those stories when like I'm thinking of at church camp, there'd be like these kind of edgy youth pastor types who would tell their personal stories about these kinds of things. Of course, they would always tell it in the way that the drill sergeant was the good guy and not kind of connect the dots that maybe the drill sergeant was creating the reckless hedonist and vice versa. And, likewise, a more public version of this is this archetype cliche. It's really sad that this is so common as to become a cliche, but of the closeted gay Republican who's like trying to legislate against LGBT plus people, but in their private life is, you know, engaging in like, you know, all kinds of like parties and shenanigans. So I think that, yeah, like I said, I don't have any like really bulletproof solutions for how to deal with this problem, but I do have a few just kind of general thoughts about it. The first is just that I think that the biggest kind of antidote in the long run for this is just like acceptance. And acceptance having, you know, many dimensions. So part of that is accepting the realities of your own kind of flaws and foibles as a human. And so that, first of all, you have kind of realistic expectations when you do like set goals and when you do try to regulate yourself and try to exercise moderation, like you have moderation in your moderation and realize that like extreme discipline is its own kind of unhealthy extreme. But also there's the acceptance of like just the realities of the world that we live in and that we do kind of need to be able to set goals and meet goals and that we do need to be able to moderate our health in various ways. Accepting the fact that we live in a world that we're maladapted for, you know, to go back to the food example, we're not evolutionarily adapted for an environment where calories are so cheap as they are in this world. And so we just, the reality is we just kind of have to, if we want to feel good in our bodies and we want to like preserve our health for future decades, it's just a problem that we have to figure out how to solve one way or another. And so I think that true, genuine self-care, you have to be able to kind of reconcile these different things of being able to treat yourself compassionately in the present as you are now and motivated by that self-love that's what motivates how you set these goals and pursue them and why you set those goals and pursue them. And so your goals for the future are not about like despising the past or present you. It's about loving the past or present you and accepting the, you know, just that you're not perfect. You're just human and you're not a machine to be tinkered with and programmed. You're like a living organism that is not fully controllable by anyone, not even you. Also, I think, you know, like I said at the top of the episode, that just like having this in your head as a concept, I think is helpful because it helps you to throw up those red flags and alarm bells when you see it in action. Obviously, that's going to happen sometimes when you're just kind of observing yourself and when you realize that, oh, maybe you're being a little too zealous about your new rules for yourself, or maybe like if you do this kind of introspection and realize like, oh, actually, I didn't want to like it wasn't that I wanted to buy all these things that I just bought all in one go. It's that I just am stressed about being so hard on myself for my budgeting, or, you know, or vice versa. Maybe it's not that I really want to be this drill sergeant. It's that I'm feel bad about the recklessness that I've had in the past few weeks or whatever. Just to recognize introspectively that like these are really just like two sides of the same coin. They're two faces of the same demon, so to speak. They're not actually opposite competing forces. You know, they two are ultimately kind of aligned in that they perpetuate each other's existences. And so just you can have a little bit of skepticism when you hear one or the other of these voices proposing itself as the solution to the other extreme, to know that that's not right, that you really need to kind of de-escalate the situation when you find yourself getting into these drastic pendulum swings. And also, you know, speaking of these red flags and alarm bells, I think just being aware of this concept can help you to recognize it when you encounter like literature and TikTok videos and podcasts and whatever, that, you know, people who are giving you advice. A lot of that stuff that's out there in the world tends to lean into one of these extremes, either the like hustle culture or, you know, drill sergeant mode of you have to count every calorie and you have to do 1,000 pushups a day and you have to, you know, have every single minute of your day scheduled and keep to the schedule and you're Captain Von Trapping your own inner child. Or on the other extreme, you have a lot of people out there who are saying like that you should just, if you want something, you should go buy it. If you want to eat something, you should go eat it and do whatever feels good in the moment. And that really that's just kind of throwing your future self under the bus. And a lot of times throwing your present self under the bus too, you know, kind of reckless hedonism. It's not fulfilling in the same way that just like mindful presence is fulfilling. It's not fulfilling in a deep way. It's just kind of being blown about on the wind of desire. And so it's it kind of creates a very empty experience in the long run. You know, on the other hand, so besides seeing the red flags where they are, you can also just like notice those people who are giving you advice that tries to integrate those two into a holistic, healthy existence. So I know for me, one of my favorite personalities in the self-care, self-improvement space is Dr. Lori Santos, who hosts the Happiness Lab podcast. She's a psychologist at Yale, and she's kind of become famous for her free happiness course that she did during the pandemic. And anyway, she just does a really good job of integrating these two extremes into one healthy, holistic existence, where just an understanding that part of being happy and being healthy is accepting yourself as you are now, where you are now. And another part of it that's also just as important is being able to set goals and work consistently toward them, and work toward them not just consistently, but like sustainably. In other words, in a way that you're not going to burn out in a blaze of glory and then run in the opposite direction. Sustainable meaning you're not going to be subjected to those pendulum swings because you're engaging in it in a more kind of moderate way. There's unfortunately a lot of just like bad advice out there in the world that is certainly well-intentioned, but a lot of times it can be a result of things being boiled down into sound bites and talking points about, you know, things that can fit in a tweet or a TikTok, when just the reality of our existence is more complicated than that. We can't just pick an extreme and choose that the way our life is going to work. We're constantly having to renegotiate with ourselves, even just to get ourselves to follow our own desires and instructions. You know, there's just a lot of people out there who are falling into one of these extremes and pushing that as like something that you're going to benefit from, when I think There's just not a lot of evidence for that succeeding. Most of the people who are actually experts, like Dr. Laurie Santos, they end up having this very gentle, moderated kind of approach where there is an element of accepting yourself the way you are and not being too extreme and treating yourself once in a while. But there's also an element of having structures and goals and some rules and some forward momentum to like nourish your future self as well as your current self. And now it's time for Secret Spells and Riddlesome Rituals. Today, the mindfulness practice known as noting. All right, so today I want to share this particular mindfulness technique that I think has definitely some specific relevance to the topic of today's episode, but also is just a really useful and really simple technique that you can use either when practicing like mindfulness meditation, but also just anytime throughout your day. And this is a technique known as noting. Noting is it's called that because you're like making a mental note, essentially, or just kind of taking note, noticing. And all there really is to this is just to either out loud or in your, you know, inner voice, just kind of say what you're experiencing. And so there's two, broadly speaking, two different ways that I'm aware of to make use of this. The first is basically as a way to help focus when meditating. So for instance, this is when you might in your mind say in and out when you breathe in and out, or inhale and exhale. And that is just a way to make it a little easier to focus. So you just mentally say the word inhale, and then mentally say the word exhale. Similarly, sometimes what I like to do when I'm having trouble focusing is to count and just like count to 10 in my head over and over again and say, you know, breathe in on the odd numbers and breathe out on the even numbers or something like that. But in any of these cases, the idea is that you're just kind of occupying the part of your brain that can think in words, essentially, keeping it busy with the task of meditating so that your mind isn't wandering as much. It just makes it a lot harder to think about other things when you're saying in and out using your kind of mental inner voice, whatever you call that, the voice of your consciousness. So that's one way to use noting, and that can be very helpful. Another way is just to kind of quickly and non-judgmentally acknowledge things that are kind of emerging in you. And so, for instance, you know, if you feel yourself getting angry, you can just say to yourself, anger. Or if you notice yourself getting hungry, you can say, hunger, hungry. And if you, you know, notice yourself getting irritable, you can say irritability. You know, it works for anything. It also works for positive things. You know, you can note coolness. If you feel a cool breeze on your skin, you can note fullness. If you just had like a really satisfying meal, you know, anything. And it just basically is, it's a little bit of a way of kind of focusing your mindfulness attention. You know, mindfulness is all about basically like metacognition, of observing what your brain is doing while it's doing it, and kind of adding this sort of additional observing presence to the process. And then by doing that, becoming more aware of just how you tick. And so in the case of, you know, today's topic about this polarized self-care, you know, you can just acknowledge when you feel this kind of drill sergeant energy arising in you, or you can acknowledge when you feel that kind of reckless hedonist arising in you. And you don't have to do it, and you really shouldn't do it in a way that's like super mean and judgmental. The goal here is to increase your awareness of what's going on. You know, you ultimately want to kind of de-escalate those anxieties that push you in those directions just by, you know, saying that phrase in your head, drill sergeant or reckless hedonist, or, I mean, there's probably a better name for these things that you can think of than I can think of. Anyway, you know, that's just a way to basically give you just like a little tiny practice you can do anytime, any place. You don't have to do this just when meditating, but it's also, you know, it's very effective to do when meditating. A lot of people will, you maybe start out just doing a regular kind of breath meditation and then decide to to actually purposefully shift your focus when you feel your mind wandering. And instead of focusing on your breath, focus on whatever anxieties your mind naturally wanted to turn toward, but to examine those with that, mindful attitude. And I think noting is a great way to do that, where you let your mind wander a little bit to the worries of the day, but you specifically name the different like emotions and impulses as they come up, and in this kind of non-judgmental way of just saying like anxiety, guilt, shame, and not beat yourself up about it, but just acknowledge it. So yeah, that's pretty much all there is to it. I think this is like an extremely powerful tool. It's nothing, fancy, but it is really useful, and it's something that there's, almost no prerequisite to be able to do. It's just a great tool to have in your toolbox. So I hope that is helpful to those of you who haven't heard of that before, or also I hope it's helpful to those of you who have heard of it before. I don't know why we phrase things that way, but anyway, may your mental notes be very kind, but also very helpful. You can find the Placebo Magic Podcast and my poetry on the web at garrisonbenson.com. Leave a voicemail for the show by calling 989-318-4118. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. You can support the show by giving us a review on your podcast app of choice, sharing an episode with a friend, or becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/placebomagic. Patreon supporters also gain access to our Patreon-exclusive bonus show. Remember, magic is a metaphor, and metaphor is magical.